Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the power of your spirit and your presence. We just love you and bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Isn't it exciting that the only thing that the church needs to hear right now, and I think this is an eternal truth. I'll run it by you. The only thing the church needs to hear is what God is saying. And too many times we lose our way. We get distracted and little foxes. You know, Brother James talking about just the cares of this life. When it says cast all your cares, it means violently hurl away all attempts that cares make to saddle themselves to you. And anyway, we're going to continue or attempt to continue our brand new series, Unshakable. It's an expose on the kingdom of God. What's really highly exciting is that God's demonstrating what his rule looks like. And isn't it benevolent and kind and good? He's all powerful. And yet at the same time, boy, he's so loving. And first service, I didn't get to say very much. I just pieced a few things together kind of throughout the service. But what I did say is that whether I'm sharing or not sharing, the Lord is sharing. And the Lord is speaking to us as a body. And what he's demonstrating is we're all made to be governed every day by his Spirit. Every day. And what fun to be in a church that would throw the doors open to heaven. Because in the beginning, God made the heavens and the earth, and one of those realms should rule the other. And we've opened ourselves completely to heaven's rule, and it's quite exciting. Makes the Christian life very exciting. Makes your prayer life very exciting. Who wants to just pray about, you know, stuff you're worried about and stuff that pertains to you? I mean, how about just, you realize the church was birthed by a group of people who went to this upper room and all they prayed was that Jesus, would you come and take us over unapologetically? That was the prayer in the upper room. And boy, did he. And we're here today as a result of that transformation in that upper room. Amen. They weren't up there praying, oh God, you know, protect us and give us some money. We're trying to have a ministry and Lord, do this for us. And hey, wipe out all the people that killed Jesus. We're really mad about that. They didn't pray any of that. They just said, Lord, would you come and rule us? Would you come and take us over unequivocally, sir? And he did. He did. So that's what's happening. Touch your neighbor and say, that's what's happening. So when we talk about the kingdom of God, this is the gospel that Jesus preached. Jesus went around declaring the kingdom was here, and then he also demonstrated it, that God's rule had come. And he said in Matthew 12:28, I've got it here, I'm throwing all caution to the wind. I really don't care what order my slides go in, but Matthew 12:28, if I drive out demons by the Spirit of God, if you see, this is what he's declaring, if you see the devil losing by the Spirit of God, if you see the Spirit of God upon me and through me, deal the kingdom of darkness all kinds of havoc and defeat, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. This is the gospel he went around announcing and demonstrating. And then 2 Corinthians 3:17, we'll just marry the two together. The Lord is the Spirit, the ruler. John the Baptist said that prepare ye the way of the Lord. The supreme ruler has come, and the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, demons go. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, the orphan spirit bows its knee. Amen. The religious spirit bows its knee. Where? Where the Spirit of the Lord is. That's what happens. Religious tradition bows its knee. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And demons get evicted. And I don't think it's right for churches to say we would rather people keep their demons than to interrupt what we're doing. I got one come on out of that. I think it's not right for churches to say, listen, we don't care if you are okay, we just want you to act like you're okay. So they don't have to deal with a screaming demon or entity who's being evicted by the Spirit of God. Amen? Sometimes it can be noisy. It can be, what's the word I'm looking for? It can be a little bit uprising when a demon is losing his place or his authority or his permission to be somewhere. Amen. It gets messy. Thank you, Jody. That's what I was looking for. So let me give you a few scriptures here. This is the gospel Jesus preached. Matthew 4:23. Jesus went about all of Galilee teaching in their churches all about church membership and how to become a member and how to, you know, make sure you're giving us tithe. No, didn't say that. He was preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all kinds of sickness and disease among the people. And then his fame went throughout all of Syria, and they brought to him everybody who was sick, everybody afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them. Can I say again, if you see me drive out darkness by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come to you. And I tell you, the kingdom of God has come to Grace Church because the Spirit of God has come to Grace Church. Amen. We have thrown our doors open to the heavens. Matthew 24:14, Jesus said in this gospel, everybody say this gospel, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to all nations, and then the end shall come. That's what it says. I know people who've given their life to trying to figure out the meaning of certain times and seasons. And here he's saying, how about you preach the gospel of my first coming? Preach that and you'll hasten the second. Come on, amen. I don't want to sit around studying Daniel, Ezekiel, and all these books to figure out who the Antichrist is. I want to preach the gospel of his first coming. That the Spirit of God, the ruler, has come to the earth. And every time we preach it to every nation and everybody who'll listen, we hasten the second. Amen. How about Mark 1:14? After John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is here. Repent and believe the good news. Amen. It's good news that the ruler has come. The Holy Spirit has come. And we're seeing firsthand the more people who are experiencing personal renewal with Jesus. Everybody say personal renewal. The more of us that experience personal renewal with Jesus Monday through Saturday, all week long, have you noticed the better Sunday gets? Because it's like God has got all these lit matches, and then on Sunday he throws us all in a room together. We have a bonfire. And then the worship team picks songs that is like gasoline on all the matches. Did you know praise and thanksgiving is an open door to the kingdom of heaven? Let his kingdom be established on our praises. Psalm 22:3. God's rule gets established in the midst of praise and worship and thanksgiving. And if you really want to give the devil a runaway, worship and praise and thank God, even when your circumstances aren't all that good. Just praise God anyway. Just bless God anyway, and you'll give the devil a runaway every time. Because he doesn't want to stick around to face praise coming out of your mouth. He doesn't. He'd rather stick around to hear murmuring, complaining, griping, and whining. He's in the midst of that. So we're seeing firsthand how our personal renewal with Jesus all week long enhances corporate gatherings on Sunday. And then the corporate gatherings with all the fire going on spurs people to say, you know what, I want to have a personal renewal with Jesus all week long. Because I'm going to tell you a secret about God. I mentioned it earlier. He likes to keep us near him. He likes to keep you in need of Him. He wants you depending on Him and abiding in Him every single day of the week. God is not in the business of giving you so much today that you won't need Him for a whole week. He's not in that business. God is in the business of giving you so much here today that you're going to pursue Him and seek Him again tomorrow. Because He wants to hear you say again how much you love Him. And He wants to pour His love out on you again tomorrow. And then the next day, He wants to hang out with you and be with you. Are you tracking with me? God desires to be with us every single day, and it's by design that He keeps you dependent. He's not going to do so much. Wow, Sunday was so amazing that we won't talk to Him again until next Sunday. I beg to differ. God's not in prison, and we're not visiting Him on weekends. Amen. That's a key to the kingdom, that He wants to hear from you and you to abide with Him every single day. We've seen a pattern in Scripture. I mentioned it last week. That God likes to take of the one world heaven and put it into the one world the earth. Genesis 1:1 is where it all begins. In the beginning, God creates the heavens and the earth. Simultaneously, two worlds that are to work together. And the prototype is, the protocol is, that He takes of the spirit and puts it in the natural. Okay, that's the prototype. We saw it when He made Adam, and He formed him from the dust of the ground. So Adam's touched by the earth, but then he breathes the breath of God in him. Ezekiel 37, in the valley of dry bones. You got all these dry bones, and then what was he declared to prophesy about? That the breath of God, the four winds, would come and fill them. And then how about Isaiah 45 verse 8 in God's Word translation? Listen to this. Rain down from above, you heavens. Pour down righteousness. Okay, the kingdom of God is what? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the heavenly realm, in the Holy Spirit. So He's not talking about natural rain here. He's saying rain down from above, pour down righteousness, let the earth open and receive. So this is protocol. The heavens open, the heavens distribute, the earth receives. And then it says, let salvation and righteousness sprout, let them spring up, I the Lord have created them. So this is God's design. Isaiah 45:8. How about Matthew 3:16? Jesus being baptized, comes up out of the water, and then what opens? The heavens open, and He sees the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove descend upon Him. And then, after that, He's led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Then He starts dealing the devil some serious damaging blows. Because the executive producer of heaven and God's rule, the kingdom of heaven, was now alit upon Him, and He began evicting darkness where He went. God's no respecter of person, right? Acts 10:34. Acts 10:38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. And He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. All right. Well, you say, well, that's not me. That's Jesus. Well, Scripture says, as He is, so are we in this world. So give me another one. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. Then after that, who did He say was the light of the world? Then He said, you are. Amen. Acts chapter 2, verse 2. A sound came from heaven and filled the whole room. And of course, Matthew 6:10, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's desire is to get what is in the earth into heaven. Take of the Spirit, put it in the earthen vessel. 109 times in the Gospels alone, the word kingdom. Basileia in the Greek. It means kingship, sovereignty, authority, rule, especially rule in the way of God, both in the natural world and in the hearts of men. That's how God rules. And then Psalm 103:19-22. I didn't get to give you this. Psalm 103:19 through 22. The Lord established His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you His angels who excel in strength, who do His word, heeding the voice of His word. Aren't you glad that the angels of God heed the voice of His word? So when you release the word of God, the angels hasten to perform it. Isn't that exciting? I don't want our angels to be bored. I think the angels of God get bored with the church sometimes because we never put any demand on His word. Touch your neighbor and say, don't let them be bored. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you ministers of his. You ministers who do his pleasure. Look at verse 22. Bless the Lord, all his works, and bless him in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. This is God's plan. His desire is to be blessed in all places of dominion. I admonish you, let him rule in every area of your heart. Don't let him just be Lord of your private life. Let him be Lord of your public life. Don't let him just be Lord of your prayer life. Let him be Lord of your social life. Amen? We're going to bless him in all areas of his dominion. Why? Because it is a takeover. Spirit, soul, and body. It is a takeover. That's what a king does, is he gets territory that he rules. Matthew 13:33, Jesus said that the kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman introduced to a three-part meal. Introduce one part until all three parts are leavened. You got born again in your spirit. He's coming after your soul and your body. Amen. He wants to rule all of you, all places of his dominion. The kingdom of God is coming to the saints. I gave you these last week. This is exciting. I wore my running shoes just for this. Daniel 7:18, but the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom. How do you get the Holy Spirit? Work for it? Just receive it. And possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. So this was the prophecy. This is what's coming. There's a day when the saints will possess the kingdom. They'll receive the kingdom of God on the earth, and they'll have it forever and ever. Luke 12:32, do not fear, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Jesus said that. And Luke 22:29, as my Father has bestowed a kingdom upon me, I bestow a kingdom upon you. Yeah, and we're worried about color of carpet and church membership and how many people came. And yet a kingdom has been bestowed upon us. How has it been bestowed upon us? By the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God's vehicle to get his rule in the heavens, into the earth. I'm going to say this again. This is huge. The church, in large part, has missed it for centuries. The Holy Spirit is God's vehicle to get his rule from the one world heaven into the earth. He is your down payment of that kingdom that you'll have in its fullness one day. Yes, indeed. But until then, you have a down payment. You're not stumbling in the dark. You're not lacking. You're not doing without. You have the Holy Spirit, a guarantee of what's coming. Amen. Are you ready now? You ready to shout? Because it's going to get exciting. This is so awesome. Mark 9:1, and Jesus said to the disciples, truly I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death till they see the kingdom of God present with power. Now there is no way to get around this. People who say, well, the kingdom's just a future thing, it'll happen one day. There's no way to get around, he said to his disciples, right there in front of him, some of you standing here will not taste death till you see the kingdom of God present with power. The word power is dunamis in the Greek. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, that should be familiar to you. Jesus said, and you shall receive power, dunamis, when the Holy Spirit comes. We've had this the whole time. We've had the Holy Spirit all this time. And just twiddled our thumbs and tripped over our own feet and offered people intimations. Counterfeit. Church membership. Committees. This, that, the other. And yet, we've had the kingdom present in the Holy Spirit, in the saints of God for all this time. Do you think we got a little distracted? You think some little foxes spoiled the vine? Daniel 7:18, there's coming a day when the saints will receive and possess the kingdom. And then Jesus said, some of you boys won't taste death until you see my kingdom present among you, in you, with power. And then Acts 1:8, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Marry that to Matthew 12:28. If I drive out demons, by the Spirit of God, the kingdom of God comes. By the Spirit of God, the kingdom of God comes. Why would the church evict the Holy Spirit? But I'll tell you why. They got afraid.
We can't control him. Somebody might cry out. A demon may fly out. I'm not going back to that church. There's stuff flying out of there. Well, good. We're not that group of people. We don't say, would you please keep your demons at least until service is over. I'm preaching good. They'd get mad at Jesus. There was that woman in church. She was a daughter of Abraham. 18 years she was bent over. And all they had to say when he healed her was, what are you doing? It's the wrong day of the week. That daughter of Abraham had listened to that guy's preaching for 18 years and carried that for 18 years. The Spirit of God has to return to the house of God. The Spirit of God. And no matter what it looks like, no matter what it looks like, he's welcome here. And we'll do our best to explain the things we see. But if you think God's just going to fit in your box, I'll tell you, God takes pleasure in offending you. Because you want to know why? He wants to know where your heart is. Tell me Jesus didn't do stuff like that all the time. Watch this, guys. And let me spit in the dirt. And then I'm going to make two mud balls. I'm going to make two mud balls just to offend the religious people. Put them on this guy's eyes. Jehovah crazy man. Jehovah unorthodox. Jehovah radical. I mean, he's got all kinds of names. And then one time he spit and gave the guy wet willies. I'm telling you, God likes to offend our thinking. Because he don't want to lock you into natural thinking. The church has been in that boat for all these years, sitting on that boat because we can feel it and we're safe in the boat. And Jesus shows up walking on water. They say, it's a ghost. Yeah, it's the Holy Ghost. That's what it is. And what did he say? Immediately, don't be afraid. It's me. That's where the church is today in America. Where's that scripture? Am I done with that? Okay. Let me. Come on, Holy Ghost. Come on, Holy Ghost. Revive us once again. I like what Gretchen said that one time. We don't need revival to come upon us. We just need to be revived to the one who's already in us. We possessed the kingdom all this time and got settled for all these intimations, counterfeits. Well, I hope service doesn't go too long today, or I hope he doesn't preach about this today. I don't like that. We rate church like a movie. Possess the kingdom. Receive the Holy Spirit and go deal the devil damaging blows. And let me say this even before that. When you receive the Holy Spirit, you have it to know God, to know him first. Know him deeply. You fall in love with Jesus, making him known will be easy. Easy. So let's don't get the cart before the horse. We need to fall in love with Jesus as well. All right, here it is. Matthew 14:26. The disciples saw Jesus walking on the water. Can I get a witness? That's supernatural activity. That's the heavens demonstrating we're not subject to earthly elements. Should give you hope. If you know somebody battling cancer, we belong to a kingdom that's not subject to what we see in the natural. We're not subject to that. There's a greater rule. There's a greater authority that's come. So he's walking on the water and they're scared. It's a ghost. It's the Holy Ghost. So they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, be of good cheer. It's me. Hello, church. Don't be afraid. Well, what if worship goes an extra 20 minutes again? He said, don't be afraid. It's me. It's me. And I might be in the business of offending you. And your religious thinking. Peter answered and said, hey, if it's you, would you command me to come on the water with you? This is the church. And he said, come on, church. Come on. You've lived in your safe material world where you can see it, touch it, smell the boat, safe in the boat. Won't you come to my world for a little while? Come to the realm of the Spirit for a while. Right? When Peter got out of the boat, he walked on water. He walked on water. Isn't that something? The Lord had told me at Prayer Shield. For about 3 weeks, I kept seeing this white board.
in front of me. It's like, you know, in October, it'll be 20 years since the birth of Grace Church. And so I started seeing this white board, and it was nothing written on it, which was so exciting. Seriously, I was not afraid. I was like, yes, Lord, new chapter, whatever you want it to be. It's a whiteboard. I don't even know. I think it's good when the church is really on a need-to-know basis. I think it's good. See, we are so addicted to safety. The Lord's got a hold of me. And so I'm just out of the boat. And so I don't care what it looks like. Well, in Prayer Shield last week, I saw the whiteboard again, and I saw the word kingdom written on it. Kingdom. And he said, don't quit the kingdom series until I tell you to. Just keep announcing the kingdom. Oh my. I just got electrocuted. You ever have that happen when something bears witness strongly in you? He said, don't quit preaching the kingdom, Lord. Oh, come on, Lord. Ooh, do what? Oh, yeah. When I said, he mentioned the word church three times, the word kingdom over 100 times. I'm getting a little intoxicated right now. I apologize. And I mean that by the Spirit, okay? By the Spirit. Do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Okay. So sometimes, you know, you get overtaken. And he said, don't quit. Don't move on from the series on the kingdom until I tell you to. Just keep announcing it. Isn't it fun? I mean, it's awesome. So I saw the whiteboard and I saw the word kingdom. And this was last week, Prayer Shield, 8 days ago. Here's what he said. As soon as I saw the word kingdom appear on the whiteboard, he said, quote, do not fear a move of my Spirit. See, this is this right here. He said, do not be afraid of a move of my Spirit, and do not fear men's faces. Do not fear childlike faith. Amen. See, the adult in Steve says, don't do it. Don't wear tennis shoes. Wear something that matches. But the childlike faith that's been resurrected in me says, oh, I'm going to wear them. I'm going to wear them as long as we're talking about the kingdom. Because I might take off running at some point. It's so much easier to dance and shout in these shoes than those adult-like dress shoes. And now there's other people that are wearing them. They show me when I come in. Just take off, Brother Steve. We're lying right behind you. Remember those days, Jody? Remember when we do the Jericho march around the sanctuary? Okay, so he said, don't fear men's faces. Don't fear childlike faith. Don't fear that I'm going to do things differently. Don't fear my leadership every day of your life. See, he wants to lord us every day, not just on Sunday. Sunday's great because all the lit matches got thrown in the same room together. But we're going to burn all week long. Come on, somebody. We're going to burn all week long. We're going to be in love with Jesus all week long. Boy, I'm praying for Walmart. Whoever sees us, school starts back, wherever we go, they're in for awakening. And a blessed one at that. Amen? A blessed. They'll be part of the collateral blessing. You've heard of collateral damage? There's coming collateral blessing all over this town. Somebody clap your hands for collateral blessing. I'm telling you. Woo-hoo! It's so exciting. All right, he said, so don't fear my leadership every day of your life. I wipe away. Now, he said this in the present tense. I wipe away all of the old. I wipe away all the old flesh patterns and everything old. I even wipe away the old good things. The old good things. Listen to Isaiah 43. Because he gave me that scripture as soon as he said that. Isaiah 43:16, thus says the Lord, which makes a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters. He's talking about the Red Sea, which brings forth the chariot and the horse and the army and the power, and they'll all lie down together. They'll not rise. They're extinct now. They're quenched. Okay, he's talking about the Red Sea. That's 16 and 17, verse 18. But remember not the former things. Can I get a witness? The deliverance from the Red Sea was a good thing. He said, forget about it. Because I'm fixing to do something brand new. Don't remember the former things. Don't even consider the things of old, because I do a new thing. And now, everybody say now. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. I submit to you, the church of Jesus Christ needs some rivers. We need to be refreshed. We need to be renewed. And that's what he's doing, is taking us back to knowing him intimately. All the refreshing, all the renewing, all the worship, all the closeness, the outpouring of his spirit is so we can know him. Know him. Because once we know him deeply, we'll be able to make him known. It'll just be a byproduct. It'll be a collateral blessing. Amen. You need to write that on your fridge this week. That's a great term. Collateral blessing. All right. So he's doing a new thing. Joel 2:28-29. In the last days, it's prophesied. In the last days, God says, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. Sons and daughters will prophesy. Old men will dream dreams. Young men will see visions. Even on my hand servants, my maid servants, male, female, won't matter who it is, I'll pour out my spirit. We had a 16-year-old girl from Students of Grace this morning in first service named Hannah, who gave a very stout prophetic word. Very stout prophetic word about leaves falling from a tree to make room for the new. Amen. And he told her, he said, she saw a vision during service. And he told her that those leaves falling to the ground and dying, that's not you. I'm the vine, you're the branch. The branch isn't going anywhere. You'll continue to always abide in me and receive of me. And then he said, the old dropping off that you see is just to make room for the new. That's a stout word. Amen. But there's no junior Holy Spirit. She's 16 years old. But Jesus is alive and well. We're not here serving some historical Jesus. We are serving the living, risen Christ in the present tense. So in Joel chapter 2, it's prophesied that your sons and daughters, 16, sons and daughters will prophesy. 1 Corinthians 4:20 says that the kingdom of God is not in word, it's in power. It's in dunamis. So we see that word again. So it's in the Holy Spirit. Romans 14:17. The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So in Matthew 6:10, when Jesus introduces a prayer, I want you to pray this. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He's saying that to his disciples. Do you think that was a prayer he intended on answering? Yes. And he did. In the coming of the Holy Spirit, the heavens open. We hear the sound. It's poured out. He had those disciples praying that God's kingdom, his rule would come, and it did. It did come. In Acts chapter 2. Now let me show you what Charles Spurgeon said. Charles Spurgeon said, the Spirit is here. He's never left since he descended from the heavens at Pentecost. Brethren, if we have not the Spirit of God, it'd be better to just shut the doors and say, God, have mercy on us. For a church without the Spirit of God is more of a curse than a blessing. Yeah. Yeah. So what's happening? Well, the Spirit's taking over. Amen. It's okay to laugh. It's one of the manifestations in the book of Acts. I think it's Acts 13:52. They were filled with the Spirit and supernatural joy. It's a good thing. Laughter does good like medicine. Amen. The Christian life is undeniably identification with and alignment with the Spirit. The Christian life has to do with the Spirit and the rule of Christ. Jesus was conceived in Mary's womb by the Spirit. Jesus was empowered for ministry by the Spirit. Jesus cast out devils by the Spirit. Church was birthed in Acts by the Spirit. We're born again by the Spirit. We're changed from glory to glory by the Spirit. We're endued with power from on high by the We bear fruit by the Spirit. We worship God in Spirit. God himself is Spirit. And if God's going to be welcome, you need to welcome his Spirit. You say, well, okay, it's great at church, but how do we walk it out? If you're getting familiar with the Holy Spirit in church, it's for the purpose that Monday through Saturday, you walk with the Holy Spirit. You walk with the Spirit. You listen to him. Get you an accountability partner. Get with people that can help you and hold you accountable to keep receiving, keep abiding, keep hanging out with Jesus. I already mentioned God's not in the business of giving you so much on Sunday. You don't need him again till Sunday. You say, I have the Spirit. What if I don't feel it? Well, then get a piece of paper and write down on the left side, what are the lies I'm believing right now? That if I don't, number one, if I don't feel the Spirit, he's not here. like our feelings are the greatest discerner of truth the world ever saw. Okay, yes. Your emotions and feelings can't even tell if a movie's real. Right? You go to a scary movie and you're all scared, and all we'd have to do is pull the camera back a few feet and you'd see all the mics and the little fuzzball and all that stuff. You wouldn't be scared. Fake blood, all that. So don't rely on your emotions and your feelings to discern truth. So what you do is, what lie am I believing right now? And just jot them down on the left, and then on the right, replace it with truth. Here's the truth. Here's the truth. Jesus said he'd never leave me nor forsake me. He's clearly with me now then. Jesus said, when I give you the Holy Spirit and I send him to you, he'll abide with you forever. So he must be here. Make sense? And like I said, get you an accountability partner. Get with somebody that can disciple you and grow you and mature you. I had a word that reminds me, given to me this morning. And I can't remember who it was. Aaron Whitlock, that's who it was. Aaron had an open vision in first service this morning. He didn't share it. He probably should have. So Aaron, if you're watching, you should have shared it. Okay, Christy, yeah, tell him. He saw a room full of, what do you call a bunch of trees? Orchard? A grove. He saw a grove of blackjacks. And you know, blackjacks hang on to dead limbs too long. They're kind of ugly. They're not good for much. And then the Lord blew in, and what was revealed is, and that orchard, by the way, was us. That grove was us. But the Lord blew in, and the revelation of our true identity was revealed, and he saw redwoods. Redwoods. And then he read to me off the internet what people have to say about redwoods. They're quick growing. They mature. They're strong. That's who we really are. That's who we really are. And that's being revealed by the power of the Spirit. All right. How about this? Let me show you this. Do you believe that Jesus can lie? Anybody believe that? Is everything he say true? Okay. I'm with you. So let this fire you up this morning. Remember when I said last week, if you really figure out what's going on, I'll have to calm you down. Won't it be fun to raise our children and grandchildren in a church where you really don't know what's going to happen? But we know the Holy Spirit is welcome. We've thrown the doors open to the heavens. And we're so perfectly made for it because we have an earth suit. So we have authority in the earth realm. So we can welcome the rule of heaven. We have that authority. We're perfectly made, part spirit, part earth. Luke 11:9, Jesus said, I say to you, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it'll be opened to you. Verse 10, for everyone who asks receives. He can't lie. Everyone who asks receives. And everyone who seeks finds. And everyone who knocks, it'll be opened. Now, what's he talking about? Well, let's read on. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, would he give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, would he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, would he give him a scorpion? Well, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your kids, how much more? Everybody say, how much more? How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Do not fear, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And the kingdom, I realize, is not here in its fullness. I understand that. Okay? But we have a down payment, a guarantee of our full inheritance. And it's in the person and presence and power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Can we clap our hands for the Holy Spirit this morning? All right, let's stand together. Hallelujah. Jeremy, you guys can come. Does it make sense? Everyone who asks receives. And you can have, I think it is a true statement that we probably have as much intimacy with the Lord as we are choosing. We probably, I said, we probably, it's probably a true statement is what I said, that we have as much intimacy with the Lord as we are choosing. Because everyone who asks receives. And He wants to take you deep, deep into knowing Him, deep in love with Him. That's what the early church had. They didn't out-argue everybody. Right? They weren't involved with the Republicans and the Democrats. They weren't in all that circus. They out-loved people. They were so in love with Jesus. You want to hear something crazy? I think it's Acts 5. Peter and John, they flogged them publicly. They beat them for believing in Jesus. Told them to renounce Him. They wouldn't do it. It says they went away rejoicing, having been counted worthy to suffer shame for Jesus Christ. That's a perspective. They went away rejoicing after being publicly humiliated and flogged, that they had been once counted worthy to suffer persecution for Jesus Christ. Jesus said three times who the kingdom belongs to. He said the poor in spirit in Matthew 5. He said to the children also in Matthew 5, childlike faith, and to the persecuted. That's who the kingdom belongs to. And you can have it. And as much of Him as you desire. It's up to you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here this morning and you just want to walk in greater fullness of the Spirit, I want you to open your hands. Just take a moment to receive of the Holy Spirit. Daniel prophesied long ago that there was a day that the saints would receive, that they would possess the kingdom of God. So, Father, all over this room, we welcome the ever-invading Holy Spirit and His redemption. It heightens us. You bless us. You so love on us. And so all over this room, Holy Spirit, have Your way as the saints receive and possess Your very kingdom and Your rule. Brother Jeremy, you guys go ahead. Church, turn your receivers on. Just receive of the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And remember that He wants to keep you abiding in His Spirit every day of the week, so that when we come together, it'll be awesome. Let's worship Him. Hallelujah.
You've been listening to Grace Church, advancing God's kingdom, one heart at a time. For more, visit us online at gracechurch.community.